It's just comedy.
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
I'm with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, haha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio. One thing, please subscribe to my channel. If you enjoy what I'm doing, subscribing is 100% free. Also, one more thing, if you have a few seconds or 1 minute, please leave a review on your preferred podcast service. Thank you and hope you enjoy.
This week, we have The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Two episodes by Mr. Ozzie and Mrs. Harriet. The first one is Ozzie Thinks He'll Be a New Father. The 82nd episode, June 23rd, 1946. And then we have their 92nd episode, Ozzie Runs for Office. Now on air, November 3rd, 1946.
Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Starring young America's favorite couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
This is Kenny Delmar. Laughter and comedy have made America the great nation that it is. But some things in life are not funny. One of them is cancer. Each year, 170,000 Americans tragically meet their death by cancer. And most pitiful of all are the yearly deaths of more than 2,500 children under the age of 20. To endure as a great nation, we must bring this tragedy under control. The American Cancer Society has launched a program designed to achieve cancer control through research, education, and service. By your generous contributions to your local committee of the American Cancer Society, you can help make this plan effective. Guard those you love. Give to conquer cancer.
Now over to the Nelson household at 1847 Rogers Road. As we join them, Harriet is in the living room, very busy with her knitting, when Ozzie enters the room.
Hello, honey. What have you been doing? You look a little beat up.
Oh, I've been outside working on my Dixie garden. I think the birds have eaten up most of the seeds, though.
Well, I thought you put up that scarecrow, and he was doing such a wonderful job.
That scarecrow's as good as nothing. You know what I think?
What?
Every time the sun comes out good and hot, he sneaks down to the corner for a short beer.
Well, at least working in that garden gets you out in the sun a little.
As a matter of fact, I think I'm looking pretty healthy, don't you? Of course, it was kind of a rugged winter, you know, and I still have these circles under my eyes.
Mm-hmm, but they look much better now. They used to go all the way around, didn't they? Hey, what happened to the side of your face there?
Oh, I cut it shaving as usual. Hey, which reminds me, were you sharpening pencils with my straight razor yesterday?
Of course not, dear.
Are you positive?
Certainly.
I had an awful time with a blade this morning. I'll bet somebody was sharpening pencils with it yesterday.
I think that's absolutely impossible, because I had it with me in the garden all day yesterday cutting out weeds.
Now, look, honey, a razor blade is only for shaving. When I put shaving cream on my face and I get it good and lathered, and then I run the razor over my whiskers...
Yes?
I like to cut them off, not line them up. Now, the only thing for me to do is get an electric razor, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It'll make weeding the garden so much faster.
No, fine.
Say, will you look through that bundle of old clothes before I get them to the release?
Okay. Mm. Hey, where'd you find this stuff, anyway?
Most of it was in the attic.
Oh, boy, where did this long woolen underwear come from?
Well, don't you remember? You bought those for yourself when we were first married.
Oh, yeah. I really started from scratch, didn't I? Well, honey, wait a minute. Don't give this away. This is my old football suit. Oh, what memories. Oh. Hey, I can't find my shoulder pads here. Wonder where the shoulder pads are.
Well, don't you remember, honey? Last year you asked me to sew them in your sport coat.
Oh, yeah. kind of tired. That wetting in the garden must have done me in.
Ozzy, look out. You're sitting on the...
Oh!
Knitting needle.
Why in the world do you always leave knitting needles on the chair point up? I don't know why you insist on knitting anyway. I'll admit you make good pies and you bake good cakes.
Well, for your information, I'm getting pretty darn good at this, too. I've been knitting so much lately, I knit with my eyes closed.
I think that's how you knitted that last sweater for me, with your eyes closed.
Well, so what if I did make it a little large? I thought you'd grow into it.
Harriet, I may get a little heavier, but my arms aren't going to get 2 feet longer.
Well, couldn't you roll the sleeves up?
Oh, I like it where I have it now, as a throw rug in my den.
Well, don't worry, because this one doesn't happen to be for you.
You know, I never will forget that first sweater you knitted for me. Remember, you knitted the back and the front and the sleeves all separately, and then you didn't know how to put it together?
I finally did manage to.
Yeah, but it was so hard to wear. That scotch tape kept coming off.
Well, it was your own idea.
Hey, that sure is a small sweater you're knitting there. Who's that for, a midget?
You'll find out when I'm ready to tell you, not before. It happens to be a little surprise. Oh, my goodness, look at the time. I'm supposed to be downtown. Here, give me that sweater. Stop looking so puzzled. It's supposed to be a surprise. See you later, dear.
Gee, I wonder what it... Well, of course. Knitting a little sweater. So that's her surprise. Oh-ho! And that Bing Crosby thinks he's so smart. Come in. Oh, hello, Emmy Lou. Come on in.
Oh, don't get up, please, Mr. Nelson. I just stopped in to see how Mrs. Nelson likes my new hairdo.
Well, I'm awful sorry, Emmy Lou, but she just went downtown. However, if you'd like the opinion of a slightly aging juvenile, I should say it looks super.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Nelson.
Got a big date for tonight?
Well, sort of. It seems that this boy is stationed near here, and his mother is a friend of Mother and Daddy, one of those things. He's a terribly nice boy, but... I feel like I'm sort of robbing the cradle.
Oh, he's pretty young, hey?
Young? He's practically a child.
But he's in the Army?
Yes.
I see. Well, I won't tell anybody. But I do have a little secret for you.
Oh, really? What is it?
Oh, I don't know, though. This has to be kept a secret, and you sort of have that, oh, just wait until I run over and tell the girls in the sorority look in your eye.
Oh, no, Mr. Nelson, tell me, please.
Well, it seems as... going to be a new arrival at the Nelson household.
Baby! Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, wait till I tell... Oh, Mr. Nelson. How can anybody possibly keep a secret like that? When did Mrs. Nelson tell you?
Well, as a matter of fact, she didn't yet. You see, she's trying to pull a big surprise. But I'm a little too smart for her. I happen to see her knitting a little sweater, you see, and...
What's the matter, Mr. Nelson?
Nothing. Just a little dizziness. It'll pass. As I said, I noticed her knitting this tiny garment, you see, and... Oh, I'm sorry, would you care for one of these pickles? All of a sudden, I seem to have a craving for them. I would...
No, thanks.
Well, anyway, here's what I'm going to do. You see, I'm going down to the department store and buy a complete outfit of baby stuff. You know, all the clothes and all the... everything, you see?
Oh, I catch. And then when she tells you what the surprise is, you can prove that you knew it all along.
Right.
How's the busy cell going, Mr. Nelson?
Oh, don't worry about me. I've been a father twice, you know.
Oh, yes, I know. Let me see. Ricky is 5 and David's about 8 now, isn't he?
That's right. And gosh, you know, it seems like yesterday that Harriet was singing that song they wrote for David when he was a baby. I remember the night she introduced it. It was on Bing's program.
Of his father and his mother and his sister and his brother and his cousins and his aunt. Nobody else but the kid in the three-cornered pan. Who's the ruler of the kitchen and the parlor and the bedroom, every corner where his little feet can dance. Nobody else but the kid in the three-cornered pan. When it's nice and quiet, who's the little lad?
little resident. Who's gonna be the president? Why, anyone can tell you at a glance. Nobody else but the kid in the three-cornered pants.
Who's the loudest little shouter? Who's the cutest little pouter? To his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. Nobody else but the kid in the three-cornered pan. And from breakfast time till supper, who's the leading breaker-upper of the furniture, the dishes, and the plan? Nobody else but the kid in the three-cornered pan. He's the sun above us. He's the moon and stars. Long as he will love us, this whole wide world will be ours. He's a naughty little rascal. He's a nuisance, but we wouldn't take a million for him if we had the chance. That's what we think of the kid in the three-cornered pan.
And now with this little stranger arriving, the song will be new all over again.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Oh, say, if you want to get those baby things before the store closes, you better hurry.
Oh, you're right. Well, thanks. I'll be on my way. Goodbye, Annie Lou.
Goodbye, Mr. Nelson.
St. Louis sporting goods, men's clothing, boots and shoes have your coupons ready. Hey, don't you want to get off here, mister?
No, thanks. I'm going to the next floor. That's the last one, I believe.
Well, I don't like to seem personal, but the next floor is the maternity department.
Well, it probably seems strange, but I'm going to surprise my wife.
You're going to surprise your wife. I wonder if there's such a thing as elevator fatigue. Oh, well, up we go.
I guess I didn't make myself very clear. You see, my wife doesn't think I know about it, but I saw her knitting a little sweater.
Oh, knitting a little sweater, hey? Mm-hmm. Hey, what color?
Why do you ask?
Well, if it was blue, she's expecting a boy. And if it was pink, she's expecting a girl. Oh. What color was it?
Green.
Now, that's a devil-may-care attitude. Well, so long, and congratulations.
Oh, thanks. I'd give you a cigar, but I don't have one with me. They're so hard to get these days.
Yeah, ain't it the truth? Hey, did you hear the one about the guy who found his favorite brand of cigars? He was so happy, he went around giving away his children. Well, so long, bud. Don't take no wooden diapers.
Very funny, wooden diapers. He doesn't know, but that's what they're making them out of now. Gosh, this might be a little embarrassing. Look at all the women. Nothing on this floor but women. I bet I'm the only...
May I help you, sir?
Oh, well, that is... Well, yes, I'm going to have a baby.
Well, why come here? Have you tried Hobby Lobby? I'm only joking, of course.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I am a little flustered.
Haven't you ever been a father before?
Oh, yes, twice. We have two boys now.
I see. Are they in the service?
No, they're just 5 years and 8 years old.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, now, what can I do for you?
Well, I want to buy some of the regular baby things.
Well, this is the baby department. Anything you want?
Well, I really don't know.
Well, how about a bassinet?
A bassinet?
Mm-hmm. Could you use a bassinet?
Well, yes, I guess so. Now, what else should a baby have these days?
Well, how about some rubber pants?
Rubber pants? Yes, that sounds good. It does rain quite a bit here in California.
Oh, brother. Well, let's see. What else?
Oh, I tell you, I'll take some of those little nighties up there. and some of these little shirties, and a few blankets, and some of those three-cornered pants. You'd better make those king size.
Okay. How about some talcum powder?
Talcum powder? Oh, no, he won't shave for a long time.
Why did I say that before? Will that be all, then?
Yes, I guess I'll be fine. And will you send him out to the house, please? The name is Nelson.
Okay. And the address?
1847 Rogers Road.
Rogers Road. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Nelson. And I'll bet the baby will look just like you.
Well, we won't care as long as he's healthy. I hope my wife doesn't buy all the same things I just bought. I think she's out making preparations for the new arrival, too.
Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. Nelson. May I help you?
Yes, thank you.
Now, don't tell me you've finished knitting the little sweater already.
Well, no, not yet. But before I went any further, I want to make sure I was making the sweater in the right size.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're perfectly welcome to check for yourself. He's in the left-hand cage, the third Cocker Spaniel from the end.
Oh, thanks. I can't wait till we get him home. He's the cutest little dog in your store.
Well, say, does your husband know about the surprise yet?
Well, he was getting a little suspicious, so I did hint about the new arrival. But I didn't say whether it was going to be a cat or a dog or a parrot, so I'm sure he doesn't know what kind of an animal to expect.
Well, I see. I'll send the dog over whenever you notify me. I hope your husband will be surprised.
Oh, I'm sure he will. Goodbye.
Ozzie will be surprised, and Harriet will be, too, if in a somewhat different way.
This is Hildegard speaking. To preserve our right to live a peaceful and healthy life, we sacrificed about 300,000 American men and women from Pearl Harbor to VJ Bay. Yet, during that same period, we permitted more than twice as many Americans to die at home of cancer. Now, if these persons had been taught how to recognize the early symptoms of cancer and had received prompt treatment, up to 50% of those victims could have been saved. The American Cancer Society is presently engaged in a campaign to raise $12 million. It is desperately needed in the fight to bring cancer under control. So please contribute generously to your local committee of the American Cancer Society. Guard those you love. Give to conquer cancer.
And now back to Ozzie and Harriet. To put it mildly, things have gotten pretty confused with the occupants of 1847 Rogers Road since Ozzie walked in and saw Harriet knitting a sweater for the Cocker Spaniel she's purchased. As a matter of fact, Ozzie is still out shopping for baby things. As our scene opens, Harriet is phoning the pet shop.
Hello?
Oh! Hello?
And this is Mr. Kern.
This is Mrs. Ozzie Nelson. You left word for me to phone you.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry to trouble you, Mrs. Nelson.
Sorry to trouble you, Mrs. Nelson.
Oh, darn that parrot.
Quiet.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Nelson.
Oh, I understand. But what is it, Mr. Cairns? I hope my puppy's all right.
Oh, yes, yes, he's fine. But I'm afraid I have some bad news for you. I'm only the clerk here, you understand. And the owner has just informed me that the Cocker Spaniel you chose cannot be sold without his sister. They've been together since they were born, and he wants to keep them together. Naturally, I'll refund your deposit. Unless, of course, you're willing to take both of them.
Oh, well, gee, I'm really crazy about that little Cocker Spaniel, and I've already promised my husband a surprise. Oh, I guess it'll be all right. I'll take both of them.
Oh, fine. I'm so glad. I'll keep them here till you want them, Mrs. Nelson.
Very well.
Thank you. Goodbye.
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 Oh, shut up.
Oh, looks like Ozzie's going to get a double surprise. Oh, Gloria. Gloria.
Did you call me, Mrs. Nelson?
Yes, I did, Gloria. I just found out that the little Cocker Spaniel I was going to buy has a twin sister. So I'm going to take both of them.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. I just about finished knitting one of the little sweaters, and
Well, I wondered if you'd help me with the other.
Oh, I'd be glad to.
Oh, thanks, sorry. Now, remember now, don't you say anything to Mr. Nelson, because it's supposed to be a surprise. Big secret.
Oh, you can depend on me, Mrs. Nelson. Nobody can keep a secret better than I can. You know my boyfriend, Elmer?
Yes.
Well, I've been secretly engaged to him for 2 years, and nobody knows about it.
Oh, nobody at all?
Not even Elmer.
Well, that's fine, Gloria. Oh, by the way, when Mr. Nelson comes in, would you tell him I'd like to see him, please?
Okay.
Oh, hello, Pop. Where have you been all afternoon?
Oh, hello, David. I've just been doing a little shopping.
What were you buying?
Well, come on over here and sit down, David. Your Pop wants to have a little talk with you.
Okay.
Well, David, you have a birthday coming up pretty soon, haven't you?
Still quite a ways off, Pop.
Yeah, I know, but there are some things you have to plan well in advance.
What do you mean, Pop?
Well, I'll come right to the point. Your mother and I have been sort of talking things over. And for your birthday present, how would you like a little baby brother or sister?
Well, if it's all the same to you and Mother, I'd rather have a pony.
Well, I'm afraid a pony's a little out of the question.
Bobby Ditto just got a baby brother. A very nice one, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got him from Dr. Brown. Say, we take from him, too, don't we?
Yes. Yes, we do, David. Are you sure you wouldn't like a baby brother? You seem pretty interested.
Well, I wouldn't want Bobby to think I was copying him. Maybe you'd better give me a baby sister.
Oh, if you're afraid of copying Bobby, maybe we could get his mother and father to exchange their baby.
Well, I don't think they'd take him back. You see, they've already used him 4 days.
Well, I tell you, think it over anyway, David, and I'll talk to you later. Oh, hello, Gloria.
I'll see you later, Pop.
Hello, Mr. Nelson. Did you know that Mrs. Nelson was looking for you?
Oh, no, I didn't. I just got home a little while ago. I had quite a day shopping.
Oh, have you been shopping?
I'll say. I've been to the May Company, the Broadway, Saks Fifth Avenue, and a couple of others.
Oh, Saks Fifth Avenue. I used to be a sales girl there.
Oh, I didn't know that, Gloria.
Oh, yes. And they paid me a big honor when I worked there.
Really?
Yeah, I was voted Miss Sad Saks of 1945.
Fine. Where is Mrs. Nelson?
She's in the other room working on that little sweater.
Oh, so you know about the big surprise, too, hey?
Oh, yeah. Have you heard the latest development?
Latest development?
There's going to be two of them.
Two of them? Twins, eh? Gosh.
Did I ever tell you I used to be twins?
You used to be twins?
Yes. My mother wrote and told me she has a picture of me when I was two.
You've been reading those old joke books again, eh, Gloria? Oh, Harriet.
Yes, honey, I'm in here.
Now, look, Harriet, you don't need to try to fool me any longer, because I know all about your surprise, and I think it's wonderful.
Oh, darling, I'm so glad you feel that way about them. You old smarty pants, I can't keep anything from you, can I?
Oh, I'm afraid I'm pretty sharp.
There's going to be two, you know.
So Gloria told me, but are you sure there'll be two?
Oh, positive.
That radar is wonderful, isn't it?
Darling, look, I want you to promise me one thing.
Anything at all, little mother?
Well, if they make too much noise and keep you awake, let me know and I'll have them sleep in the garage.
In the garage?
Oh, yes, it'll be very comfortable. We'll get a little box with some blankets in it and put it over there by the ash can.
Honestly, dear, you have a strange sense of humor sometimes. Oh, I just thought of something. Now I'd better buy a war bond for the other little fella, too.
What do you mean?
Well, when I heard about the little stranger coming to our house, I bought a war bond in his name.
Why, Ozzy, that's silly.
Silly? Oh, now, wait a minute, honey. Don't say a thing like that. Just because the war in Europe is over, don't think for a minute that we can stop buying war bonds. Because now more than ever before...
Oh, Ozzy, you know me better than that.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. You mean because he doesn't even have a name or anything yet? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I have a particular preference as to his name.
You have?
Mm-hmm. So I put the bond in his name in an envelope on your dresser. And when he arrives, you can open it up and see how you like the name I've picked out for him.
Well, sounds like quite a routine.
By the way, I haven't asked you, when do you expect the little strangers will arrive?
Sometime next week.
Oh, next week? Now, wait a minute.
Well, of course. I could have had them today.
Today?
Well, yes. But first I want to make sure they had their tails clipped and they didn't have their feet. You see, they're down at Joe's pet shop.
Wait a minute. You mean you're knitting that sweater for a dog?
Well, of course, didn't you know that? You said that you... Ozzie, you didn't think...
Oh, no, of course. Naturally, I knew it was a dog.
Some fellow just delivered a big package from a department store. It's for you, Mr. Nelson, from the baby department.
From Gloria, he's got the wrong address. Just tell him to take it back.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Nelson, but I opened the package already.
Oh, you opened it?
Yeah, and you should see. 3 dozen of the cutest little face towels.
3 dozen face towels?
Gloria, those aren't face towels. Wrap them up and send them back. And send back the safety pins that came with them, too. This bed feels good. I sure did a lot of walking today.
Ozzie, do you still insist that you knew all along it was going to be a little dog?
Well, of course, Harriet. Anybody could tell that.
Well, I know I shouldn't have done this, but... Well, I got so curious that I opened the envelope.
The what envelope?
The one with the war bond you bought for the dog.
Oh.
I think that's an awful cute name you picked out for him.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Mm-hmm. But won't the neighbors think it's strange that we have a cocker spaniel named Ozzie Nelson Jr.?
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, presenting America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. And now let's see what's going on in the Nelson family.
What are you writing, dear?
Just a letter.
Is it a secret?
No, it's no secret. It's just a letter.
Oh, that's different. Anyone I know?
No, dear. Would you mind not speaking to me for just a couple of minutes? I'm trying to concentrate here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you looking for something, dear?
Yes. Have you seen the dictionary?
What word do you want to know how to spell?
Well, I know how to spell it. I just want to make sure I'm right. Where is that dictionary?
Well, what's the word?
I don't know whether you've even heard of it. It's demagogue.
Oh, demagogue?
Yes.
D-E-M-A-G-O-G-U-E.
Harriet, let's not guess, shall we? D. Oh, yeah. Delve. To magnetize. A demagogue. D-E-M-A-G-O-G-U-E.
What'd I tell you?
Harriet, please. I knew how to spell the word. I had it written down, as a matter of fact. Just wanted to double check.
What are you looking for now?
Have you seen my eraser?
That's what happened 2 nights ago. And that brings us right up to date. Now, let's see. Where were we? Oh, yes. They're at breakfast, and Harriet says...
Ozzie, I wish you'd put down that paper and drink your coffee.
Just a minute, dear. I just wanted... Oh. say, Harriet.
Yes, dear?
Listen to this. I just happened to stumble across it here in letters to the editor. Would you care to hear it?
Your coffee's getting cold.
Dear sir... Recent surveys show that an alarming number of voters are shirking their duties by failing to register for the coming elections. This is indeed...
Good morning, Mother.
Good morning, dear.
Good morning, Ricky. Sit down, will you, Ricky? There's something here I want to read to your mother. Dear sirs, recent surveys have... Ricky, do you have to crunch on that toast this very minute? Trying to read something to your mother. Dear sirs, recent surveys show that an alarming number of voters are shirking their duties by failing to register
morning,
for the...
Good morning, dear.
David, I beat you down to breakfast this morning.
No wonder you didn't comb your hair.
Good morning, David. Sit down, would you please? Where was that? Oh, yes. This is a tragic commentary on the... David, please! Your mother is very anxious to hear a certain article I'm trying to read to her. This is a tragic commentary on the decline of civic responsibility.
David didn't wash his face.
These citizens who fail to register are guilty of negligence and indifference to public duty.
You know, boys, and I think we'd get along better if there wasn't quite so much tattling on
Harriet, do you or do you not want to hear this?
Well, of course I do, dear. Go ahead. I'm listening.
It's impossible for you to talk to the boys and hear what I'm reading at the same time.
Those citizens who fail to register are guilty of moral negligence and indifference to public duty.
Our most precious right must be exercised. We must protect our traditional principles.
The principal at my school is Miss Colbert.
That's fine, Ricky.
She's very nice, too.
I'll be through in just a moment. Otherwise, we abandon true democracy for the rule of selfish demagogues.
Demagogues?
Yes, demagogues. Responsible citizens, register and vote in the coming election. What do you think of it?
Well, I think it's positively brilliant.
Guess who wrote it?
Let me see. George Bernard Shaw?
No.
Secretary of State Burns?
No.
Ozzie Nelson?
Absolutely correct. There it is. See? Ozzie Nelson. See, there it is, boys. Your father's name? Taylor?
Can we eat our toast now?
Is that all the impression it makes when I get my name in the paper?
Is that good? You know that Cocker Spaniel with Will Thornberry? He had his picture in the paper last month.
Yes, but did he write a letter?
Ozzie, dear, we're very proud of you. It's an excellent letter.
Thank you, dear. You know something, Harriet? Writing to your newspaper can be a valuable public service. Especially when a man has the ability to express himself with clarity and force.
That's true, dear. Some more toast?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Goodness knows there are plenty of issues that are confusing the public right now.
I think I'll get some scissors and cut that article out before I forget.
Oh, what for, Harriet?
Well, I want to save it to show to people.
Harriet, it's not worth talking about, Eve. What is it? I just happened to write an ordinary letter reminding the people to get out and register and vote. That's all.
What was that? Did you hear something hit against the front door then?
Oh, yes, I think it was just the morning paper.
But we already got our paper.
Oh, I kind of figured that my letter might be in the paper today, so I asked the boy to ride back and get a few extras.
But I only heard one hit against it.
Oh. I thought you might want to send a copy to your mother and my mother and... Maybe I better get the papers.
Stay away from that door, or you'll be killed!
Ozzie, I think somebody's at the front door.
I'm answering it now, dear. Oh, good morning.
Good morning indeed, sir. Have I the privilege of addressing Mr. Ozzie Nelson?
That's right.
It is a privilege to meet you, sir. My name is Pennyfeather. Pennymore Pennyfeather. Here's my card.
Well, thank you. Ah, I see you're a chairman of the Citizens Political Pressure Committee.
I have that privilege, Mr. Nelson. I had the privilege of reading your letter in this morning's paper. And I want to tell you, sir, I consider it a privilege to meet you in person.
Well, thank you.
May I have the privilege of coming in?
It's a privilege. Please do, yes.
First of all, Mr. Nelson, a word about our organization. We are just average citizens. The man in the street, the woman in the house, the group in the Gallup poll, Mark, doesn't know.
Oh.
For a long time, we've been called the vote that's gotten out. And frankly, Mr. Nelson, we are just fed up with being wielded.
Yes, but politically speaking, what's your direction?
In these times, who knows? We just put pressure on everybody. But first of all, sir, allow me to congratulate you on the letter you sent to the paper.
Oh, it was nothing.
Your inspiration.
Have a seat.
Clear, concise thinking. Magnificently presented.
Take the one with the cushion.
Thank you. Very comfortable indeed, sir. Mr. Nelson, I might as well get right down to business. At our committee meeting this afternoon, your letter to the editor was read, and it was suggested that I pay you a visit and get to know you a little better.
Well, I don't quite understand.
Clumsy of me, of course, you're wondering. Mr. Nelson, the Citizens Committee is most particular about the character of any candidate whom it sponsors.
Candidate?
Your letter to the newspaper indicated that you are a man with a deep sense of civic responsibility. You, Mr. Nelson, are the kind of man the committee likes to present to the taxpayers.
But Mr. Pennyway...
Pennyfeather.
I mean Mr. Pennyfeather. Do you mean what I think you do?
We are considering you, sir, for the office of Public Protective Executive Custodian under our banner.
Public Executive Protective Custodian?
Public Protective Executive Custodian.
Well, this is a great honor. I don't know what to say.
Your name was only suggested, you understand.
Yes.
I was appointed to see you and decide if you were, well, sort of look you over, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
Thank you.
I didn't have time to shave this morning, but
that's
I usually...
That's perfectly all right.
Yes.
Mr. Nelson.
Yes?
I know, of course, that from your letter, you are aware of the tremendous responsibility that any man in public office has.
Of course.
Therefore, you will not mind if I ask you a few questions.
Not at all, sir.
Do you hold public office now?
No.
No. Have you ever been convicted of a felony?
No.
You seem to be just the type we're looking for.
Oh. Golly, I don't know. Do you mind if I call my wife?
Not at all. I'd like to meet her.
Hey, Harriet! Harriet!
People are always curious about the relationship between a candidate and his wife.
Harriet, dear.
Yes, Ozzie?
Harriet, this is Mr. Featherweight.
It's Penny Feather.
Penny, Feather.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Mrs. Nelson, we have asked your husband to be a candidate for public office.
Really?
Yes, for public executive protective custodian.
Public protective executive
custodian.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Well, now, just a moment, Harriet. You must realize what an important step this is. Our quiet, peaceful home life here will all be changed. We'll live in the public eye, subject always to criticism. Few thanks, long hours.
I always thought a politician's hours were short.
Not just before election.
Think it over, Harriet. It's a big step. You know the old saying, politics make strange bedfeathers, hey, Mr. Pennyfellow? Well, what do you say, dear?
It's Pennyfeather.
Certainly, Ozzie. I think it's a great honor.
Oh. Harriet. Take me by the hand, dear. We accept the nomination, Mr. Penny Pincher.
Penny Feather. And the Citizens Committee is proud to endorse a man of your caliber.
I shall do my best to deserve your confidence.
With that attitude, you cannot fail.
I am inexperienced, but I promise you sincerity and honest effort.
That's the kind of man we need in office.
And I...
Take it easy, fellas. You're both on the same side.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Public Executive Protective Custodian. Or is it Protective Executive? Oh, well. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Pennyfeather.
It's Pennyfeather. Oh, yes. Goodbye.
And if elected, I promise I shall do my utmost to discharge efficiently and honestly the duties of the office to which you have entrusted me. Harriet, I'm not through yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dick.
I pledge myself to the service of the people. I pledge every bone and muscle in my body, every hair on my head, every drop of blood in my veins.
Ozzie, isn't that a little bit strong?
Well, you got to impress him with your sincerity.
Well, I know, dear, but do you have to bleed on him?
Well, maybe just the bone, muscle, and hair would be enough. And may I ask...
Go ahead, dear. I want to find out about lunch.
It is every citizen's duty to register...
Gloria!
...and vote for the candidate of his choice.
Gloria! You saw me, Mrs. Nelson.
And keep out the irresponsible charlatan and worthless demagogue.
I didn't ask to come in. Somebody called me.
Just making a speech. I called you to ask you about lunch.
Gloria, you may be interested to know that I'm running for the office of Public Executive Protective Custodian.
Oh, that's wonderful, Mr. Nelson. Will vegetable stew be all right tonight?
Yes, it sounds wonderful.
By the way, somebody just delivered this big book for you, Mr. Nelson.
Oh, yes, thank you. That's the book Mr. Pennyfeather promised to send me about the city ordinances and organizations. By the way, Gloria, I want you to see what you think of the end of my speech.
And I also promise that if elected, I will leave no stone unturned. I will use all my energy, my time, all my waking hours, if necessary, to make this office a model of efficiency and good government.
Oh, that's cute.
Well,
I'm sure you'll be elected.
Well, thanks a lot, Gloria, but it isn't such a cinch.
Oh, I'm positive you'll win.
You can't be sure. Some people think my opponent will win.
Oh, you've got an opponent. That's a little different, but I'll vote for you, Mr. Nelson.
Well, thanks very much, Gloria, but I don't want you to vote for me unless you think I'm the best man for the job. See, you have to realize it's the duty of a citizen not only to register and vote, but also to keep informed, to know all about the candidates and the duties of their office, and then decide which candidate is capable.
Now, I guess you're right. I should know more about it. Mr. Nelson, is your opponent capable?
Well, I don't know.
Who is your opponent?
Well, he's, say, come to think of it, I didn't ask.
What are the duties of your office?
Well, I'm not sure.
See? I wish I was a candidate instead of a voter. Then I wouldn't have to know anything either. Well, I'll think it over while I get lunch ready.
Say, by the way, Ozzie, what are you running for? I mean, what are the duties of this executive protective...
Say, frankly, I was just wondering the same thing myself. It's probably right in this book, Gloria Gaming. Let me see. Public offices. From the sound of it, I'd say it had something to do with the treasurer's office, wouldn't you? Not in that section. Oh, it wouldn't be a minor office like that anyway. And look it up here close to the mayor. That's all. Here it is. Public Protective Executive Custodian. His duties shall consist of... Is lunch ready yet, dear?
Well, what office is it, Ozzie?
Office?
Yes, that's what you just looked up, isn't it? What are the duties of the office?
The particular duties of the office aren't important. After all...
I know, dear, but what are the duties?
Well, it doesn't matter much what a man does. It's the fact he's in public service, that he's doing his best for the people.
Ozzie, what are you running for?
Dog catcher.
Dog catcher?
Well, head dog catcher.
Well, come on, Ozzie. Let's eat lunch. Cigars, dear?
Well, of course. Why not?
Well, wouldn't dog biscuits be more appropriate?
Harriet, that's a very cheap joke.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of like it.
The office of head dog catcher is a very honorable and historic office. It was established in 1874 by an act of the city council and has always been filled by honest and upright citizens.
That's interesting.
Besides, I can't get out of it.
Well, I don't see why you should want to, dear. After all, it is a public office, and it may be only the beginning for you. If you do a good job, maybe you can run for something else next year.
Say, that's right. That's the way to look at this job, as a stepping stone. Who knows where it could lead? Perhaps even to Washington someday.
Sure. From doghouse to White House.
Well, hello, boys.
Hi, Pop.
Hi, Pop.
What happened, fellas? Something go wrong in school?
Tell him, David. Might as well tell you, Pop. Ever since you started to run for dog catcher, all the kids we know with dogs won't speak to us.
Oh, so that's it.
Not only that, Will Thornberry's Cocker Spaniel won't speak to us either. I'm sorry, Pop, but none of the kids seem to like dog catcher.
Now, just a moment, boys. I think you've got this a little confused. You see, I won't be the man who goes out with the net and catches the dogs.
You won't?
No. I'll just be the man who sends the man out with the net to catch the dogs.
Oh.
That's not much better, is it?
Pop, please don't be a dog catcher.
Gosh, fellas, I never realized you felt this way about it.
We wanted to get a dog of our own.
Well, you can have a dog. I'll catch you I'll buy you a swell dog. Do you think just because I'm dog catcher, I'd object to having a dog in the house?
No, but how's the dog gonna feel?
No, fellas, you've got to listen to me. You've got to see my side of it. I like dogs just as much as you do. And I promise you I'll be very careful. Oh, hello, Emmy Lou.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, I ran over as soon as I saw you come out of the house. I heard the news, and I want to tell you that I'm very proud of you.
Oh, thank you, Emmy Lou.
What an honor it is for me to live next door to you.
Oh, you're exaggerating.
Oh, no, I'm not. I can't help thinking how proud I'll be someday when a mad dog gets loose on Main Street and people's lives are in danger until you come along, dash in, and capture him with your bare hands.
I think they provide gloves for that.
You know, standing there facing the mad beast. Slowly you hold out the can of Red Heart. He crouches. Your muscles flex. You're ready to throw the net over him. He grows tense. Suddenly he springs at you. You throw the net. It misses. The crowd scatters. But do you run?
Well, of course I...
No, no, Mr. Nelson, you don't. The mad dog's got you by the sleeve. Now his teeth are tearing the flesh off your arm. Your assistants run up and throw ropes and nets around him. He's captured, and you're a hero. Won't that be wonderful for the neighborhood?
You know, Emmy, you and the boys are giving me an entirely new picture of this situation. In fact, the whole thing gets less appealing by the minute.
Well, do you mean you'd rather not have the job, Mr. Nelson?
Well, for one thing, David and Ricky and even Harriet will probably disinherit me if I'm elected. You see, it seems nobody has much sympathy for dog catchers. We're an oppressed minority.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, maybe you'll be lucky and lose the election.
No, not with my luck. They've already arranged for me to go out and make speeches and get votes.
Well, maybe the people won't like your speeches and won't vote for you.
Yay. Hey, that's an idea, Emmy Lou. Maybe I can campaign to lose votes.
Well, sure you could.
If I could succeed in making bad enough speeches, I may lose the election.
Oh, I've got faith in you, Mr. Nelson. You'll be able to do it. It'll be easy for you.
Maybe you're right, Emmy Lou. Wait, I'll see you later. I'm going to go prepare a few bad speeches.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, you're wonderful. The sacrifice you're making for your family.
Oh,
giving up what may be a brilliant political career. Just think you might be elected dog catcher, then alderman, then mayor, governor. And then who can tell, you might run for president and have your picture taken with Frank Sinatra.
And so a strange phenomenon takes place. The Rogers Road political machine grinds to a stop. And slowly goes into reverse. Gradually gathers speed. And more speed. Every cog turning smoothly. Every nut performing his function, turning out speeches.
What would I do about loose dogs if I were elected? I'd do the same thing the present incumbent would do about loose dogs if I were the present incumbent and he were elected. That's what I'd do about loose dogs if I were elected.
Turning out radio programs.
Wake up, America. Time to stump the precincts. Tonight, our guest expert is candidate for dog catcher, Ozzie Nelson. Mr. Nelson, I would like to ask you a question. Who will you vote for as dog catcher?
For my opponent, J.J.J.J. O'Mahony. He is experienced. He is independent. O'Mahony wears no dog's collar.
More speeches.
And so, members of the Ladies' Aid, remember, a vote for me is a vote for inefficiency and corruption.
And in closing, Legionnaires, let me remind you again, elect me dog catcher, and in 6 months, the dogs will be running this town.
So I say to you, daughters of Carrie Gibson, go to the polls tomorrow and vote for my opponent, J.J.J.J. O'Mahony.
Corny political jokes.
It has been stated by some irresponsible scandal mongers that my opponent, J.J.J.J. O'Mahony, was once seen pushing a dog off his lap.
This is an unmitigated, scandalous untruth. That was no dog. That was his wife.
Grinding out dreams of handbills and billboards.
Ozzie Nelson, an able candidate, supports the platform
of J. 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 O'Mahony. Honesty, integrity, courage, airmail now 5 cents.
Settling campaign strategy.
Why should I shake your hand? I don't want your vote. Cigars? No, thanks. I never use them. I'm calling upon you for one thing. Get out and vote. But remember, if I'm elected, this town will go to the dogs.
Right up to election day and election night, when Harriet says to Ozzy,
7 o'clock, dear. Why don't you see if some of the returns are coming in?
And when the smoke of battle drifts away, the town will find in its midst one of the brightest political stars in the history of this city, the cleverest vote-getter of all time. In a very unorthodox, completely nutty campaign, this candidate on the ticket of the Citizens Committee...
Citizens Committee?
...swept all opposition before him by the novel method of pretending that he didn't want the job. I guess that it proves that nothing captures the heart of the American public like a good sense of humor.
Oh.
So let's all congratulate our new dog catcher. Congratulations wherever you are, Mr. Ozzy Nelson, and may you...
If that isn't the most amazing thing...
Oh, it's terrible.
In a way, it's hilariously funny, I suppose, after you tried so hard to get defeated.
What am I going to tell my children?
That must be the committee to put the crown on your head.
Oh, well, Mr. Pennyfeather, come in.
Mr. Nelson, I hope you're thoroughly ashamed of yourself.
What do you mean?
To think that you, of all people, would do a thing like that.
But
after that wonderful letter you wrote for the paper, do you remember what you said in that letter?
Well, of course. What's that got to do with the election?
What's that got to do with the election? Haven't you heard?
That I won, certainly.
You won, yes. But you've also been disqualified.
Disqualified? I can't take office.
No, and all on a technicality, too. Mr. Nelson, you forgot to register.
If you forgot to register, how did you vote?
Holy smokes, I forgot that too.
Oh. You've been listening to The Adventures of Ozzy and Harriet. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, and as always, peace.